Lord, please get me out of this. I want to quit doing drugs and I want to have a better life. Well, I didn't know that at the time. And then all of a sudden, bam, a bunch of cops came in. Get down on the ground. Don't move. It was quite interesting. Well, at that time, we just had went and picked our plants, which we had 51 pounds of marijuana. And, well, yeah, they found it. And they got us good. They took us to jail. And I really didn't know at the time that he had prayed to the Lord at this time until we got out of jail. But when I was sitting in jail, I had a little bit of time to think about it. And, you know, I was telling my this in AA the other night that, you know, I didn't think I had a problem. Well, I guess I did have a problem. But Shane said, you know, Lord, take me out of this life. And he did, like that. And when we got out of jail, we had nothing. We were in Shoshone County in Wallace. We called his mom. His mom kind of didn't want anything to do with us at the time. So I said, let's go. I'm ready to get out of here. So we walked. And we walked. And we walked a little more. Had no coats. It was getting cold. He's like, let's start a fire. You know? He's like, my mom won't let us walk. I know that. I says, I hope not, because it's far. So we had a fire, and his other kid came to get us. And it was his girlfriend that called the cops. They were kind of like doing a thing on Logan. They were checking up on Logan. And we just happened to be there. It was all bad. But it was not bad. It was good, because it brought me to you guys. When we got home, we felt sick, and we felt like we didn't belong. When we went back to our home that we were living in Fernwood, we were snitches. People hated us. They burned all of our stuff. They just didn't like us anymore, because I guess we got busted. I really don't know. Then I needed a shower really bad. And he says, I know one person that will never turn me away and that will always love me, and that's Ryan Worthington. So we went to Ryan's. He says, this is my best friend, always has been my best friend, and he won't turn us away. Because everybody else did. They didn't want anything to do with us. They thought we were bad. And so we went to Ryan's, got a shower, and Ryan says, you got to come to church. You got to check this out, you know. And I'm looking at Shane, like, Shane's looking at me, and Shane's like, I'm like, come on, it ain't working this way. Let's try something different. He's like, okay, let's check it out. And I am so glad that I came, because I look forward to this day every week. Every day, I'm like, I can't wait till Sunday. I can't wait till Sunday. I can't wait to see your face. I can't wait to see all of you. You guys have done so good for me. And Jesus is good. He is awesome. He has answered. We go to prayer meeting at 6 o'clock on Sundays. And so many prayers have been answered. You know, we prayed for pastors in the other churches. And, well, we go to this other church on Friday. We go, what is it called, Shane? Celebrate Recovery. And they're really nice people, too. And we go and have dinner with them, and we worship. And their church is beautiful, too. And they are just awesome people, too. And they, I don't know what their story is, and I really don't really know that very much about them. But they're awesome people, too. I don't even know where I was going with that. Every time I look at you guys, I get my story all straight. I'm not good at this at all. Anyway, like I said, God is good. And I have so much to thank him for. I have talked to my mom now. I haven't talked to in 8 years. My sister that I hadn't seen in almost 27 years texted me and said, hey, sister. And my life is just so awesome. Oh, that's where I was going. The pastor. There was a new pastor there. That's right. And I don't know if there's any others, but prayer works. It works for me. It works for all of you. And I just want to let you guys know that I love the Lord, and he loves me. And Lewis, thank you, honey. I love you. We have really fun, a lot of fun times on, you know, we sit and we talk about the Lord and we celebrate recovery. And in AA that we go to, I got to say one more thing, okay? In AA, they say that you're always recovering. And I do believe that. We're all recovering all the time. And I just know that when all this, we went to court on Monday. And they didn't send me to prison. Thank God. And they didn't send me to prison. They gave us 2 years probation. And all I know is when I get off of probation, I'm not going to stop coming. I will always be with you guys. And thank you so much. I love all of you. At first, I really didn't come to the Lord until you baptized me. And that day was when you put me in that water. Cameron gave us a movie that says Jesus Revolution. And you know when he's getting baptized and he goes down and he sees that light? Well, I seen that light. And it was awesome.
Thank you. Yeah,
thank you. Love you too.
Well, Michelle pretty much said it all. God answers prayer, because here's one right here, just walked in. So this is another one of my children. So I was raised Catholic. I've always believed in God. But I was raised to believe that I was never going to make it, because he really got a total line there. Traditional Catholic. Not to put him down. It was a tough go. And, you know, it caused me to run from fear. That's one of my traits. I run. So, like Michelle said, God had to take and he had to... I'm a tough nut. He had to squish me, break me. So he did that. He got us good. And like she said, you know, addiction is a disease. It is curable. It's a tough go, though. You've got to want it. And in order to want it, sometimes he's got to smack you down. And then you got to know why you got smacked down. And yes, I would say it was less than 2 minutes before we got arrested. It's the first real prayer I have said in years and years, way over 20 years. I meant every bit of it. I said, God, get me off this stuff and give me something new, because it wasn't working. You know, I was very active. I worked really hard. Everything I did, it fell apart. Like, it'd go good for a minute, and then it didn't. You never get anywhere. A lot of it was just, I think, that, you know, they were talking a couple months ago in here about the knock, knock, knock. That's, he was knocking. I just didn't know who or why. So, yeah, I got humbled. And like she said, we had nothing for the first time in my life of all my hard work. We had nothing. What she didn't tell you is Ryan tried to get us to go with him on Sunday several times, and it was, Michelle wanted to go, it was me, I don't have nothing to wear, Ryan said, he doesn't care. Well, I'll go next weekend. Well, Ryan says, not going anywhere, it's going to be there. So, I finally agreed to go, and I thought, you know, I'll just sit out in the car, and Michelle, she'll get to go check it out, and I'm never coming back here. But then Zach Milliken over here. He's looking at the floor trying to ignore me. Zach Milliken is my lifelong best friend. And then I met Ryan, and Zach and I faded away because life does that to us. But we still love each other. But I've lived a lot of life with Ryan. And Ryan and Zach are cousins, by the way. So, and I see my cousin Lucas. This is my cousin Lucas. I love Lucas. He's good people. And I seen him coming in here, and I thought, I didn't know Lucas went to church. Well, this is interesting. I got to go say hi, Lucas. So I made it in his doors. Yes, I felt kind of uncomfortable coming up and sitting in the front row. I was headed for the back row. But this is where Michelle and Ryan went. In the meantime, Logan was still incarcerated. So I used to worry about what people think, especially my kids, my family. Well, like she said, when we got out of jail, my mother didn't want anything to do with us at the time. My mom's a good lady, and I knew she wouldn't make us walk. But she let us walk for a while and think about it. Anyways, my mother and father are really, really close to us now, which is a blessing. They've been very supportive. They don't agree with our church here, but they don't disagree either because they're happy we're going and doing something. And the people, you people, are a wonderful group. The lack of judgment, I would say, is the greatest quality this church has. You open your arms. You know, I got the carpenters have been super, super powerfully incentive for us. And the year outs, Ryan and Katie have been really, really good to us. And then there's Mr. Jones back there. He's a little nuts, but there's nothing you can't tell him. There's nothing you can't tell Tim, I've learned in the last couple weeks. These guys don't stomp all over you. They give you advice. Maybe it's not what you want to hear. Like, I wouldn't want to hear some of it, you know, a year ago. I listen to everything people say now. And this guy right here, he's a pretty tough guy. Like, I want to make him mad. So Logan gets out of jail, and I'm a little, you know. So we go to church now. And he didn't say anything. I said, well, don't you find it odd that we go to church? You know? That's another thing. The first time I come to church here, Pastor Lynn Ryan introduced me as Logan's dad. I'm like, how does he know Logan? I don't know anything about Logan going to church, and I mean, we live together. So Logan says no when he got out of jail. He says, no, I was not surprised that you were going to church. I sat in jail and prayed that you would the whole time I was in jail. Okay, so that was kind of cool. So now we've continued to come and grow and learn, and I mean, I still feel I've got a long ways to go. A long ways, and I feel there's a reason he was mocking for a long time. There's a lot more to the story, but there's kids up here, so. Anyways, praise the Lord. I hope what I'm doing is right in the eyes of the Lord, and I feel it is, and I could learn something from every person in this room, and more than one thing, you know, like. Yeah, so thank you, and thank you, Lord, for I'm here. Thank you, Pastor.
Good question. Shane, you prayed that prayer, and you were saying, God, get me out of this. I want to quit. Was that a point of turning your life over to him, or was that just a cry of desperation at the moment? Help me in this situation, and then when did that point come where you gave your life to him?
I knew that at the rate we were going, she was going to be gone. I was Rob Bonner. I could see everything falling apart in every aspect, you know. So it was a desperation, but I meant it, is all I can say. Like, I could have never got up a year ago and told you that I was a loser, but because I wasn't, I was like, you know, Mr. Tough Guy. And I'm not a loser. I just got on the wrong track. But I was losing everything right and left. And, like, so, yeah. So when I found the Lord, again, it had to be around the time that Logan and I went to work for Ryan year out, and on our ways to work, I'm pretty close to him. We talk about everything. He's powerful. I ask him, as I'm reading the Bible and whatnot, him and Ryan, but Logan's answered a lot of questions for me. He's a little farther advanced than me.
Sure.
So it was somewhere on those rides to work where I really started taking this serious, and I really started seeing, like, that's when God started working for us instead of against us, you know. But and he's still growing. I don't know. We're not there yet.
Right.
He's got a purpose for me. I don't know what that is, but I'm going to do it.
Not that scary. Oh, praise the Lord. You guys, this is what it looks like to start following Jesus. And I can't talk about it too much because you're going to make me cry. Because I think many of us, you guys are an answer to of prayer for us. And I'm going to give you a little bit of a warning. Do not teach them how to be religious. We don't need that. We need to just follow Jesus. I've been in church a long time, and religion is not what we need. We need more of Jesus. And that's what you guys are doing, following Jesus. And yes, maybe you're not as far along as you think you should be or whatever. We're not either. We're not either. We're not where we should be with the Lord. But we strive towards that. We strive for that closeness. So you guys are doing great. You're doing awesome, all of you. And Ryan, I brag about Ryan. Ryan doesn't know it, but I brag about him all the time. This guy's a disciple maker. Okay? We need to probably take a few more pages out of Ryan's book. Just with an open heart, opened his home. Wow. Wow.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Now, if you're going to clap for the Lord because you're not clapping for me, you need to do it right. Huh? Yeah. You're clapping for the Lord, so do it right because you're not clapping for me. So now get it right. Come on now. If you're clapping for the Lord, we got to get it right. Amen? Hallelujah. All right. We can't be doing that stuff halfway if we're, clapping for the Lord. Hallelujah. So I'm pretty serious this morning. I'm probably pretty serious every time that I preach because I take what the Lord has to say to me pretty seriously. So I'm not going to tell any jokes this morning. You know, you may laugh. I don't know, but that's not the purpose. I'm just going to start by saying this, and this is kind of hard for me to say, but let's pray. That's not hard to say. Let me pray first. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just pray that you would just take over our service. Even more than you already have, you can have the whole thing. Lord, we make room for you right now. By your Spirit, We pray, Lord, that you would come down from heaven and touch earth right here. Lord, fill us with your Holy Spirit. Awake us by your Spirit to do something new in our lives this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right. So, last Sunday, if you weren't here last Sunday, something kind of amazing happened. And I don't know if you guys recognize really what happened last Sunday. But we had two prophecies last Sunday. And then our pastor came up and was obedient to the Lord. And those prophecies were a calling to us. They were a calling to the altar. They were a calling to closer relationship with him. I don't know if you really realize what spiritual gifts, what they do, but when you hear a prophecy, if it lines up with Scripture, the Lord is speaking through that person. This is the Lord God by his Spirit in giftings of the Holy Spirit speaking to you for edification, exhortation, and it can be a rebuke, but a lot of times it's a call. This happened a little bit, and it really bothered me that we had two prophecies and our pastor call everybody forward to the altar, and a few came. That bothered me, and I'm not trying to put a bunch of condemnation on people. That's not what I'm trying to do. I'm not trying to condemn you. If you didn't come forward or whatever, that's not what I was saying, but I was thinking, why? What is the reason? Because I know what God can do. We just heard about it. So why wouldn't you come forward? And so I thought, well, there could be reasons. There could be maybe you don't believe that God can do anything. Maybe you don't want God to do anything. Or maybe you think that someone else needs more of God than you do. Or I don't want to go forward because I don't want to take up any more space in the altar because the people that are there, they need something, so I don't want to take up their space. I want to address that. God has room for you. God can touch each and every one of us. Specifically, he is more powerful. And if you want to come to the altar, come to the altar. Okay? And the other thing was, and I pray that this is not how it is, and I really don't believe this, but rebellion. I'm just not going forward. It doesn't matter what the pastor says. It doesn't matter if Jesus himself was standing there. I'm just not going to that altar. No way. There's just no way that I'm going to that altar. And I pray that that's not the heart of our church. Because it says in the Bible that that is rebellion. Or rebellion is witchcraft. Whoa. Wait a minute here. This is getting serious. So I pray that that's not how it is. I'm not saying that's what it is. But the other thing, this is what I think is the truth. This is what I think is really what it is. We're fine. We're fine. I'm fine. We're fine. If you ask anybody, what do you say? How you doing? You know, this is a greeting we do in America, and I don't think there's a lot of other countries that don't greet like this. But how are you doing? Good. That's the answer. I mean, and Ryan really is good. He is a good person. He's a nice person, and God has made him good. But I say, you know, sometimes I'll say, I'm good. The only reason I'm good is because God has made me good. And that's not like I'm down or anything like that. It's because God's so good that he has made me good through his son, Jesus Christ. But that's the answer that we give a lot of times. I'm good when we're not good. I'm fine when we're not really fine. And we go in and out of this building, in and out, and we don't let the Lord touch us because we need to be more than fine in Christianity. I've said this a long time. Sometimes I see the scripture and I see the church and it doesn't match. I know this book is true. I know this is truth. So whatever we're experiencing in Christianity, if it doesn't look like what I see and hear, then we need to change. We don't need to throw it out. There's been a lot of organizations that have done that. Well, it doesn't look the same. Well, then that must mean that those gifts aren't for today, that they've ceased. We don't do that anymore because we don't see that anymore. Or maybe we need to change. Or maybe we're not doing something right. Or maybe we're fine. So I want to speak to that this morning. Let me tell you, America is not fine. The church in America is not fine. Our church is not fine. You are not fine. I am not fine. I am not fine without the Lord. I am not fine without His presence. I am not fine. If you have sin in your life, you're not fine. If you need healing, you are not fine. If you're struggling financially, you are not fine. If you have unsaved loved ones, if you don't have the fire of the Holy Ghost, if you're drinking, smoking, chewing, and swearing, you're not fine. If you have addiction, you're not fine. If you're looking at pornography, you are not fine. I'm telling you. You need the Lord. We all do. If you think that you're a Christian because you come to church, you're not fine. We can't just be religious and come to church and think that this is all we need. If you think that you're a Christian because your parents attend church, you're not fine. If you think you're a Christian because your parents are Christians, you're not fine. We're not fine. If your prayer life is inconsistent, you are not fine. If this is all that Christianity has to offer, we're not fine. We're not fine. Where is the power of the gospel? Where is the truth of God's word? We're not fine. I got a question. Before that question, I want to just stop here because a lot of times what happens after I preach, people tell me, they'll come up to tell me, not a lot, but a few, oh, so-and-so should have been there to hear that message. I wish Billy Bob, I don't know a Billy Bob, so if you're Billy Bob, I don't know, but if Billy Bob was just there, if he was just there, that was just for him. So I'd like you to say something with me. This message is for me. Okay? Remember that. It's not for your neighbor. It's for you. God speaks specifically to us. So the question is, what would you want to spend eternity in the way that you are right now? Would anybody just, you're fine. You'd rather spend eternity exactly the way you are right now. Then we got to do something different. This isn't working. Now, it seems like that I'm off, right? We just heard some amazing testimonies, you know, and we sang about the goodness of God and all those things. But have you ever seen God come down from heaven and touch earth? Really? I've seen refreshing. I've seen renewal. But I've never seen, personally, a real, true revival. Real. Where you can't contain it, you can't stop it. Even last Sunday, the Holy Spirit was here, moving in our midst, okay, and refreshed us. But it's short-lived. We go back for those refreshings. It should be every day. We go back to the Holy Spirit for refreshing after refreshing. But that doesn't last. We need something that's lasting. When you meet Jesus face to face, it lasts your whole lifetime. When Jesus shows up to you, this is what happened in the Bible. In the Bible, Jesus showed up to them, and they were forever changed. They even couldn't go back. I mean, these are sailors. These are guys that, you know, and they're forever changed because they had an encounter with Jesus. That's what we need. We need a real encounter with the living God, a real one. And there's nothing that I can do to make that happen. There's no preaching I can do. I can't pray enough. I can't fast long enough. I could probably fast long enough that I would die before that would make that happen. I mean, I'm serious. There's nothing, I can't get you guys excited enough to make revival. I can't preach hard enough to make revival. I can't do it. It's a sovereign move of God, and he does it. So we don't need more methods and techniques. We need the Lord himself. We need Jesus. Amen. So I've talked a lot about being ready in the past. Ready to meet Jesus. And we look at that like that's for somebody else. Well, that's for the unbeliever always. But I see in Scripture that there's lots of places where God tells us to be ready, even as believers. The 10 virgins, 5 were ready and 5 were not. So how many people in this room are really ready to meet the Lord? I mean, we're ready. He's going to come down right here, and he's, you know what I mean? Stand right here, and I'm just ready. I know who that is. I recognize him, and I'm ready to meet him. Are you ready? Are you ready to meet the Lord? Not just in salvation, if you've accepted the Lord or even said a prayer, but are you still ready? Are you still ready to meet the Lord? Because that's what Christianity is all about. It's not this religious stuff sometimes that we see. It's not about this service that we see. It's about following him, being obedient to him. And I even pray this prayer, Lord, teach me how to bear my cross, because I don't know how to all the way. Teach me, Lord, because I need to learn to die to myself, because that's not a message that we preach in America. Say this prayer after me. Now you're saved. Now just sustain until Jesus gets back. But we still have to be ready. The Lord is looking for those who are ready. Are you ready? Are you ready to meet the Lord right now? Because if you're not ready, you better get ready. Amen? Right now. I mean, we have to be ready. And I remember this story. This wasn't in my message, but I remember that in history, there was these men called Minutemen. They were ready. They had to be ready. I think it was the Revolutionary War that the Minutemen were, and at a moment's notice, they had to have all their stuff by the door, they had to be all their gear, they just had to be ready at a minute's notice so they could just go. That's the way we need to be. We need to be Minutemen. We need to be ready moment by moment, minute by minute, day by day, ready to meet him. And not just for heaven. That's not even what I'm really talking about. Yeah, Pastor Shane said it, if you haven't started a relationship with the Lord, then you need to start following him. But I'm talking to the church. Are you ready for his presence? Are you ready to meet him? Okay, I got one. One person's ready. I'm just kidding. So God is a God of preparation. So I'm going to have you, while I'm going through this, I'm going to have you kind of turn to about 3 passages of Scripture. Let's go 2, just 2. 3 is too many. Go to Deuteronomy. Just go to the book of Deuteronomy. I'm not going to tell you where. And then Jeremiah. And just kind of put your finger there, because we're not there yet. Don't get ahead of me and start reading. I do that sometimes. Try to figure out what the preacher's trying to say before he preaches it. I don't agree with that. Well, you haven't heard what I said yet. Okay. I've realized that God is the God of preparation. Okay? He prepares us, and he wants us to be prepared. So there's a couple passages of Scripture. I'm just going to run through them because I don't know if I have time to get through them or not here. I'll read them to you. That'll shorten it up. So no water until ditches are dug. No water for the army until ditches are dug. 2 Kings 3:16. And he said, thus says the Lord, make the valley full of ditches. For thus says the Lord, you shall not see wind nor rain, yet the valley shall be filled with water, so that you, your cattle, and all your animals may drink. So they dug ditches. So they prepared for the Lord. Number two here, no oil. This is 2 Kings 4:3-4. Sorry, I lost my place here. No oil until the vessels were gathered. Then he said, go and borrow vessels from everywhere, from all your neighbors, empty vessels, do not gather just a few. So if you don't have a vessel, it's hard to fill it, right? So she had to go. This is the woman that Elijah, or I think it was Elijah, showed, went and got all the vessels, told the widow to go get all the vessels, right, and fill them, and so they could fill them with oil. And he filled them, and he filled them. The Lord did that. But they had to go get the vessels. I'm sure you've heard the story. They had to gather the vessels and so they could be filled. So if you don't gather the vessels, you have nothing to put oil in. Not prepared. So no healing until the leopard had dipped 7 times. So 2 Kings 5:10 says, and Elisha sent a messenger to him saying, God, go and wash in the Jordan 7 times. And your flesh shall be restored to you, and you shall be clean. But he had to go dip. He had to prepare. He had to be ready for the healing. No Messiah until the way had been prepared. Isaiah 40, verse 3. The voice of the one crying in the wilderness. Prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. This one always interests me. Jesus, God in flesh, needed someone to go before him to prepare the way. So even Jesus needed preparation before him. What I'm saying is God is the God of preparation. That's what I'm trying to tell you. I'm trying to prove it to you. So no harvest until the ground has been broken up. Hosea 10:12. Sow for yourselves righteousness, reap in mercy, break up the foul ground, for it is time to seek the Lord. Until he comes and rains righteousness on you. I like that. He rains righteousness on you. But we have to be prepared. But the first part, this is the part that we don't want to do. We don't want to break up the foul ground. We don't want to break up the hard ground. This reminds me, before I keep going, it was interesting that Moses, God told Moses to speak to the rock, right? And the water was going to come out. And he didn't. He hit the rock. But I was thinking about that. Just with a word, God can break the heart of stone and make the Holy Spirit flow right through you. I don't have to hit you. I don't have to get a big stick and beat on you. God can do that through His Word. He can break the heart of stone by the Holy Spirit and watch the rivers just flow from you. Wouldn't that be amazing? The rivers flow down the hill into St. Mary's. This river of living water by the power of the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. And then we see things happen. Wouldn't that be awesome? That's a prayer. No reconciliation without repentance. Whoa. No reconciliation without repentance. And I would say no repentance without recognizing your sin. If I recognize my sin, then I know I need to repent, and then God reconciles me to Him. But if I don't need to, if I don't know I need to repent, am I going to be reconciled? Nope. I need to recognize my sin first. I need to know where I need to repent. I need to be prepared for reconciliation. And that's through repentance. Amen? Does that make sense? That means turn around. Repentance means turn completely and head the other direction, away from it. That's whatever it means. So some of the things that I said were not fine. You got to do the opposite of that. This is not necessarily about condemnation, some of the things that I said in that. It's about holiness. It's about fear of the Lord. And we're missing some of that. We need both. We need the love of the Lord. We need His mercy and grace. But also, we need to fear Him. I'm getting ahead of myself. It's really quiet in here. Hallelujah. Sound like the Presbyterian church. Actually, they were getting pretty rowdy last time. I got them to say amen and everything. Hallelujah. I love those. I'm just kidding. I really do love the Presbyterian people. They're amazing people. They keep inviting me back. I can't figure out why, but they keep inviting me back to preach at their church. But they're a real blessing. They really are. No reconciliation without repentance. Joel 2:12. Now therefore, says the Lord, turn to me. That means turn away from whatever you're doing and turn to me, God, with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, with mourning. When do we do that? Fasting, with weeping, with mourning. When have you done that? When have you been so in agony over the sin that that's what repentance looks like? Oh Lord, I'm sinful, and I start fasting, and I start weeping, and I start mourning over this. I'm in agony over this. The next verse. Surrender your heart and not your garments. Return to your God, for He is gracious and merciful and slow to anger, and great kindness, and relents from doing harm. That's what we were singing about this morning. The mercy of the God. The mercy of God is He doesn't just strike you dead right where you're sitting for your sin. That's His mercy. Because that's what we all deserve, me included. I'm nobody special. I deserve the wrath of God. I deserve to die right here where I'm at. But because of the mercy of God, He allows me and He gives me time to repent. Isn't that awesome? That's amazing. Let's see where I'm at here. Sorry. No vision without obedience. John 9:7, and He said to him, go and wash in the pool of Siloam, which is translated sent. So he went and washed and came back seeing. That's true for us too. There's no vision without obedience. God's not going to give you any more vision if you haven't been obedient to Him. If whatever God told you the last time, if you haven't done it, He's not going to give you any more. So you're going to have to ask Him what He told you last time and remember and then be obedient to that, and then He'll give you more vision. Do you see that in the spiritual? So no vision without obedience. So no resurrection until the stone was removed. John 11:39, Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of him who was dead, said to him, "Lord, by this time there is a stench, for he has been dead for days." So they didn't really want to roll that stone back. They had unbelief. Now, Jesus could have done, you know, because he's God, he could have resurrected Lazarus without opening the tomb. He could have let him just walk right through it if he wanted to. But he wanted them to be prepared. He wanted them to believe. And then he wanted them to have faith. So the action is sometimes what we're missing. The action behind our faith. We believe, but we don't actually act on those beliefs. So that means no faith. We need to act on what we believe. So I thought about this. I'm a logger, by the way. That's what I do for my paycheck, right? So what do you call a logger that doesn't get any logs? This is not a joke, but it's not like a punchline. Broke. I won't be a very good logger for very long if I'm not getting logs to the road. How can I be a Christian and not follow Jesus? And do what he did. That doesn't work. So I can't, if I'm not getting logs to the road, I can't call myself a logger. I'm telling you, if you're not following Jesus, you can't call yourself a Christian. Just because you go to St. Mary's Assembly God Church doesn't mean that you're a follower of Christ. And a follower of Christ is someone who's obedient to what he's told you to do. Today I'm not going to spell all that out. You're going to have to figure that out. It's in his word. It's real easy. You just open it. We made it way more complicated than it needs to be. Open his word. Find out what he's told you to do. Be obedient to that. Simple as that. That's the way it was when they were following Jesus. He did what they told him to do. So they continued to follow him. When they didn't want to do what he told them to do, they stopped following him. It's as simple as that. So no entrance into heaven without cleansing. Revelation 7:13. There's not more than one. There's not a bunch of revelations. It's one revelation. Then one of the elders answered and said to me, "Where these arrayed in white robes, and where did they come from?" And I said to him, "Sir, you know." So he said to me, "These are the ones who have come out of the great tribulation and washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." There's no entrance into heaven without Jesus. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And he has to cleanse you by his blood for that. But that's just the start. That's just the start. Belief is just the start. Then it takes action behind that belief. Okay, now we're going to go to this passage of Scripture. So Deuteronomy 4. Okay, we're doing good. I don't want to go over. No, that was Jeremiah. I went to the wrong spot. Deuteronomy is where we want to be. Okay, Deuteronomy 4. Okay. "Therefore you will seek the Lord with God with your and you Let me start over. But there you will seek the Lord your God, and you will find him. If you seek him with your whole heart and with all your soul, when you are in distress and all the things that have come up in the latter days when you turn to the Lord your God and obey his voice. For the Lord God is a merciful God. He will not forsake you nor destroy you, nor forget the covenant of your fathers which he swore to them. So the context of Scripture is here is kind of Moses is kind of at the end of his life, and he's wanting to make sure they know what they need to know, right, before they enter the promised land, if I'm correct here. I hope I'm not all wet. So he says to them, he gives them a warning right before that. He said, if you serve idols, if you disobey the Lord, you will not be long in this land. God will remove you from this land. And he did exactly that. That pretty soon they were carried off. I'm fast-forwarding a long, long time here. But pretty soon they weren't being obedient to the Lord. They started making carven images. They started sacrificing the idols. They started worshiping other gods. But God says, but if you seek the Lord with, and you will find him, if you seek him with your whole heart, with all your soul. Okay? So just flip over to Jeremiah, because I'm trying to get someplace here. 29. And 29:11 is the one that everybody knows, right? And I know that this is speaking, both things are speaking to Israel, but they also show us the character of our God so we can apply it to us. So Jeremiah 29:12, then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with your whole heart. I will be found by you, says the Lord, and I will bring you back from your captivity, and I will gather you from the nations and from all the places that I have driven you, says the Lord, and I will bring you to the place from which I caused you to be carried away captive. Now, this is interesting to me because Jeremiah writes a letter before that, and he says, oh, yeah, by the way, get comfortable because you're going to be there a while. You're going to be in captivity a while. You're going to be there like 70 years. Get comfortable. But he tells them in the midst of this, in the midst of, you know, marrying and building their homes and just getting comfortable there, to seek the Lord. He wanted them to seek the Lord. Now, you're not going to get out until 70 years, but I still want you to seek the Lord with your whole heart. See, that's where we're at. That's how I view us a lot of times. They were kind of like the captives carried off into Babylon, except for we were already here. We were born captive by sin. And so we're not of this world if we're saved, but God is still expecting us to seek him with our whole heart. See, that's the part that we can do. Revival, I can't do. You can't do. God's the one who starts revival, really. He's the one who starts it. We can quench it. That's interesting to me. We can put a wet blanket on it. But God's the one who starts the revival, okay? So I can't do that, and I don't know when that's going to happen. There's generations that have gone by that never have seen a real revival, a real touch from the Lord. But God has called us to seek him with our whole heart. And then at that point, when the presence of the Lord shows up, we're prepared. We recognized his presence because we've spent all week in his presence. Sorry, I got to flip my page. So, recognizing the presence of the Lord. I'm not done with my Bible, but so, yeah. We'll have one more. It was just in my way. So, Recognizing the presence of the Lord. Can you recognize the presence of the Lord? Really? You know when God's speaking to you. Good. Because it says that his sheep know his voice. We need to know his voice. That means we spend time with him. We recognize, how do you know that it's from the Lord? How do you know? Because you've spent time with him. It's easy. The difference between the other thing is, a lot of times we don't understand the difference between, you know, the devil judging us and the Holy Spirit convicting us. It's real easy. It's real simple, okay? I've kind of learned this. The Holy Spirit is very specific. Very specific. He'll tell you exactly what you need to repent of. Okay? The devil will tell you in general. Okay, like this. You're a terrible father. You're awful. You're not saved. You're not a believer. That's pretty general. You know, you're terrible. You stink, whatever. That's pretty general. But when the Holy Spirit convicts you and says, you know what? You haven't been a good father to your son in this way. You need to ask forgiveness of your son. Maybe you need to ask forgiveness of your father. My dad's sitting right there. Sometimes I do. Sometimes I have to ask forgiveness of my father, probably quite a bit. I'm definitely not perfect. But one of the things that we recognize his presence is, the very first thing that I know when I'm in the presence of the Lord, the very first thing, Lord, I've sinned. That's the first thing that happens to me. I feel this overwhelming presence. I know it's God. And then I go, oh, Lord, there's got to be something in my life that I haven't taken care of. I don't want anything between me and you. I don't even know what it is, but reveal that to me, because I know by your scripture, I know that this separates me from you, even though I'm saved. Then I recognize that, and then I ask for forgiveness, and I repent and move into the presence of the Lord. It's as simple as that. There's no penalty, there's no none of that. Okay. Waves after waves, the presence of the Lord, recognizing that the presence of the Lord comes in waves. I don't understand that all the way, but it does. It's like an ocean. And I'm telling you that we never get to the second or third wave in church. I've gotten there in other places. I've gotten there in my own quiet time. But we leave way before we get to the second and third wave. You're only experiencing the first one. There's way more. Way more. And sometimes the waves, between waves, it's a long time. They recede. They mellow out. Sometimes it's a little bit more time. And as you seek him, and sometimes they're close. It doesn't seem to matter. That's the Holy Spirit. It doesn't seem to matter. You can't control him. It's not, okay, we're going to pray for 5 minutes, and then we're going to experience the presence of the Lord for 5 minutes, and then 5 minutes later, we're going to get the third wave, and then there's more, 10 more. That's not how it works. It can be hours between the waves. It's whatever you're willing to seek him, how hungry. And sometimes I think that's what he's doing, trying to see how hungry you are for him. It's wave after wave. But I'm telling you, 30 seconds at the altar, or a minute, or 5 minutes at the most, if we ever get there, may not be enough time. It may be. You may experience it in 5 minutes. Praise the Lord. But contending for his presence is a whole different thing. God is here. He's everywhere. But the concentrated, manifest presence of God, you have to contend for that. You have to seek him for that. He wants you to. He just, and I think some of the reason he wants you to is because it's so much better and so much sweeter after you've contended for that presence, because you want it really bad. And you've paid a price. Jesus said to count the cost of your salvation, to count the cost. We never count the cost a lot of the times. David said, I will give God what cost. I won't give unto God what costs me nothing. It needs to cost you. Need to get to the place of sacrifice. That's a whole nother sermon. Sacrifice instead of just offering. But that's another sermon that I have. So maybe someday. But I want to get into that. I want to get off topic. We need to contend for his presence. All right. So we're going to go to one more scripture. Leviticus, if you believe it. Hallelujah. There are some amazing things in Leviticus. If you really search them, really look in the midst of all the laws and all the sacrifices. That's good too, I'm just saying. So, did I say 6? Leviticus 6. Are you there? Because I want you to read this with me. Okay. Because this is really important. Leviticus 6, 12 through 13. I'll wait one more minute because I want to make sure you get it here. We got time. Excuse me. Leviticus 6, 12. Okay, and the fire on the altar shall be kept burning on it. Let's see. It shall not be put out. And the priest shall burn wood on it every morning and lay the burnt offering in order on it. And it shall burn on it the fat of the peace offering. A fire shall always be burning on the altar. Shall never go out. And I think this is the third time. I think the first time is in verse 9. But at least three times he talks about keep the fire burning. Now, God's the one who starts the fire. God started that fire in the beginning. But he tells the priests to keep it going. So they got to put a piece of wood on the fire to keep it going. So it's our it's God's responsibility to start the fire. He's the one that starts it. We're the ones that keep it burning. See, I think that we misconstrue like God's character sometimes. We think God either does it all or we do it all. But God has laid out in his word that he wants to partner, and I don't know why this is, but he partners with us. He partners with humanity. That's why he's asked you to preach the gospel and make disciples. He could do it on his own. He doesn't need you. God would have to do is show up. People would repent. They would fall before him. He has showed up in recent times. Two people. He can do it. And they surrender their life to the Lord. But he's asked you and me to partner with him. So you're not doing things for God. You're doing things with God. It's a relationship. He wants to walk with you in whatever you're doing. So even it works in revival and in fire of the Holy Ghost. He'll start it in you. He'll get you going. But you got to keep the fire burning. Did you hear me? So how do you do that? Spending time with him. Contending for his presence. So four things. We're not fine. Actually, I don't want to ever be fine. If I ever get to that place where I'm fine, slap me. I don't want to be fine. I'd never want to stop growing in my relationship with the Lord. I want to move forward. And I'm just as guilty as you are sometimes of not coming to the altar when I felt a tug. I'm like, oh, well, the pastor didn't really hit exactly. I felt the Holy Spirit was speaking to me, but it wasn't exactly the right, so I'm just not going to go. And if you feel the conviction of the Holy Spirit where the pastor has said those words or not, just come forward. Are you ready? Are you ready to meet the Lord? right now in his presence, not just for eternity, not just so we can get to heaven, which that'd be a good thing. I want to spend all eternity with him, right? But we need to be ready for his presence. Recognize his presence. This comes by contending for his presence, spending time in his presence, and keep the fire burning. That's your job. This is the part of service that sometimes I don't always know what to do. I always try to leave this open-ended. I don't have a big, huge plan right here. Because I want the Holy Spirit to do something in your life. He can do way more than I could ever do. Sharon, will you come to the piano? I think this is what we'll do. That's okay. Okay, all right, I'll pick it up. Got to keep me in check here. Can we just start? You know, Sunday morning is the first day of the week. It's the last day of the week, sometimes the way we feel about it, right? Because it's the end of the weekend and we're going into our work week, but it's actually the first day of the week. And we're seeking the Lord on the first day of the week, right? So what we could do is contend for his presence. We could do is seek the Lord right now with our whole hearts and start our week out a lot different. Instead of thinking the Sunday is the end of the week and we get to go to church, Sunday morning is the beginning of the week and this is going to change my whole week till the next time we get together and the Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday in my own personal relationship with the Lord. I don't know what we're going to sing, but I didn't have a song picked out. Can we just stand? All we're going to do is seek him. All we're going to do is render our hearts. All we're going to do is praise him. That's all. Okay? Can we just do that? In any way you think, you can raise your hands. You can jump up and down. You can worship. You can clap. You can come to the altar. It's whatever you want to do. But just surrender your heart to the Lord right now.